Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here with all of you this evening. And hopefully all of you are healthy, not getting sick. I feel like the attendance today seems to be a little bit smaller than last week. I'm wondering if it's because people are sick. And so, but hopefully all you guys are healthy and yeah, things like that. So for those who don't know me, my name is Daniel. As Pastor Fino said, I'm one of the pastoral staff interns here at Lighthouse. I also help oversee 242 ministry with Pastor Eufemio. And I've been part of this church community for about 8 months now, so almost a year. And in fact, you know, this Sunday, I'm actually going to be an official member of Lighthouse. I mean, so that's huge. You know, I've never been like an official member of a church. And so, I mean, my old church, we never had membership process, so I just assumed I was a member. But then going through the membership class, it was just like, wow, you know, I'm actually a member. And I get to sign this covenant, and I'm going to get my pictures taken. This is really exciting. Wow. So, but yeah, I'm going to be a member of Lighthouse, so that's exciting. And let me just say this, from a guy who's been here for only 8 months, I've just really learn to be really encouraged by this church. You know, it's just been really amazing just to see just your guys' just love for God's word and also just your humble spirit, just willing to just be teachable, willing to just hear God's word, willing to serve, willing to really invest in people. And so so really, really exciting. And because of that, I'm really excited to see what God's going to do this year and as well as the years to come. So last Thursday, we kicked off our series on Resolve, Commitment of the Christian Life. And last week, Pastor Brian went over this idea of resolve to live for God's glory. And today, we're going to talk about resolve to make disciples, okay? Resolve to make disciples. And the key idea here is we make disciples of Jesus Christ, that he is full authority and with us to the very end. You know, if you're like me, I didn't want to make any New Year's resolutions. Before 2018 hits, I was pretty much set on not making any resolutions at all. You know, I didn't think there was any point. But once 2018 hits, guess what happened? I made resolutions. You know, I decided to make goals. I decided to make a list of things I just want to accomplish. And I don't know why. Maybe it's just the new year. Maybe it's something I just want to do. And one of the things I really want to do this year is actually read more, you know, because I feel last year I didn't read as much, and so there's something that compelled me to just read a little bit more so I can sharpen my mind and actually just learn. Another thing is to actually pray more. You know, I felt last year I wasn't really intentional about prayer, so I feel like this year would be a good time to really get back into prayer and so that I can just really grow closer to God. There are also other things such as, you know, exercise more. I also, you know, one of them is like eat less ice cream, so less concha. There's less of, what's that called? Salt and straw. So less of that. But there's one thing I wanted to make a resolution for is I actually thought about this and I was really tempted to do it. It's get rid of my smartphone. Because over the past few years, I felt I was really distracted. I found myself just looking at my phone all the time. I wasn't really intentional to people that's around me. And so I was really tempted to kind of get rid of my smartphone. But then I realized that's kind of like really extreme. So I decided to kind of, you know, try not to look at my phone as much as possible. And good luck on that. And so, but as I was looking at preparing my message this week, you know, as I was just thinking and reflecting, and also just evaluating my resolutions, and I realized one of the things that kind of dawned on me is that a lot of my resolution is about me. You know, it's a lot about me, what I want to do, things I just want to accomplish, you know, how this is going to benefit me. And I realized a lot of my resolution is not about others. You know, I didn't have a set goal or plan where it was about other people. Now, I'm not sure about all of you. Maybe you have resolutions, maybe some of you do have resolutions, but all of us here have goals. You know, all of us here have things that you want to accomplish, right? Some of you guys are trying to find a job, You know, some of you guys want to find a better job. You know, some of you guys maybe like want to move out of your parents' house, you know, be on your own. Some of you guys maybe want to exercise more. And it kind of, the list goes on here. But I want to ask you this question here. You know, have you ever thought about making a resolution or resolve to invest in others? You know, have you ever thought about, you know, really thought about investing and pouring your life to other people? I mean, think of it this way. Wouldn't it be cool if you make one of your goals to help others grow in their relationship with the Lord? Just think about that for a second. You know, as Christians, I think it's really easy for us to focus on our relationship with God and sometimes our own self and our own personal growth, and I'm just, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all our focus, then we would be missing out what God intends for us. You know, we would be missing out what is true joy and true satisfaction, and that is to serve others. You know, because joy and satisfaction isn't about serving ourselves, but true joy is about serving others. You know, one pastor says this, that spiritual maturity is never an end in itself. Maturity is for ministry. We grow up in order to give out. It is not enough to keep learning more and more. We must act on what we know and practice what we claim to believe. Impression without expression causes depression. Study without service leads to spiritual stagnation. And that's why we're focusing on this topic tonight, resolve to make disciples. So that we could turn our eyes from ourselves and turn to others. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Now, as you're going there, let me just say this. You know, if you're like me, you've heard this message many times, probably most of you. You know, it's probably nothing new. You've probably been, you know, coming to Lighthouse for quite a long time. Most likely you've heard a topic about making disciples. But my hope is that even though you already heard this message, even though you've already read this passage before, you probably noticed by heart that we will be reminded that this is God's holy word speaking to us. And not only that, we'll be reminded of our mission here on this earth, that we were called to make disciples. You know, my hope is also that when you walk out, you know, this tonight, that you wouldn't be say something like, okay, I've heard this message before, but you would actually be encouraged to take steps of faith to be on God's mission. And my hope is also that you will not see the Great Commission as a burden. You know, sometimes when we think of the Great Commission, we think, you know, as a burden, but my hope is that you see it as a joy, that this Great Commission isn't something that we have to do, but it's something that we get to do. You know, we get to share the love of Jesus to other people. We get to be on God's mission to impact people's lives that will make a difference, not just their lives here on this earth, but all eternity. And we do it not because we want to earn God's love, but we do it because we're already loved by God through Jesus Christ. You know, for those of you who are not Christians here, and you're probably new to the Christian faith, my hope is that you will first, that you recognize that you need a Savior, that you're a sinner in need of God's grace, and you would place your faith in Jesus Christ. And secondly, my hope is that you would grow to see how good he is, that you would like to be on his mission to tell others how good he is. Having said that, let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The first point here is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Now, I want to have us first look at verse 19 to the first part of verse 20. This single sentence from verse 19, the first part of verse 20, is known as the Great Commission. Many Christians know this, and many of you do as well. And another way to put this, actually, this Great Commission can be called the huge task. The huge task. Now, in this single sentence here, Jesus tells us what he wants to do, where to do it, or to whom, and how to do it. So keep in mind what to do, where to do it, and how to do it. And the way you see all those is by looking at the verbs. You know, notice there are four verbs in this sentence here: go, make, baptize, and teach. But among these four verbs, we have one main verb, and the rest of the three are the helping verbs. Okay, I'm going on teacher mode right now, so I'll go to preacher mode later. So if you were in grammar school, they probably taught you the difference between a main verb and a helping verb. So for those who don't know a main verb, it is a single action word, like this is the main action to take. And the helping verbs are the ones that supports the main verb. In other words, the main verb tells you what to do, and the helping verb tells you how to do it. Okay? Now, going back to our passage here, if you look at the four verbs, which one do you think is the main verb? What is the single action that Jesus wants us to take? Make disciples. That is what Jesus wants us to do. Make disciples. So what this means, as Jesus' disciples, we are called to make disciples. If you want to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to ask yourself, are you making disciples? Another way to put it, disciples makes disciples. Now, Jesus tells us where to go to make disciples, or to whom. He says, make disciples of all nations. Notice Jesus didn't say make disciples of some nations. He didn't say make disciples of most nations. He says make disciples of all nations. You know, he wants everyone to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and have a chance to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, this could take place here at this church. This could take place where you live or at your workplace. You know, wherever you're at, the hope is that you'll make disciples, right? And, you know, some of you guys here, you know, some of you might be going elsewhere. You might work somewhere else in the future. You might go back home. But the hope is that you'll be making disciples of all nations. You know, this is kind of the reason why, as a church, we would send people to go to Japan, to Uganda, to Mexico, because God calls us to make disciples of all nations. Now, then he tells us how to do it, okay? And we see the how in the remaining three verbs in this sentence. He says, we are to make disciples in three ways. First is by going, second, baptizing, and thirdly, by teaching. So these are the how of the Great Commission. You know, this is how we are to do what Jesus commanded us to do. You know, my old pastor once gave me this piece of advice when it comes to teaching in general. He says this: don't just tell people what to do, tell them how to do it. You know, don't just tell them just what to do, but just tell them how to do it. And Jesus is telling us here how to do it. And you do it by going, you do it by baptizing, and you do it by teaching. So since this is the how of the Great Commission, let's talk about these three words briefly. The first one is going. You know, I was studying this word, going, to see if there's any hidden meaning behind it. And when I found the word go means go. You know, Jesus is very clear to us that we must go. He doesn't want us to stay idle. He doesn't want us to just stay, right? You know, think of it this way. You can't make disciples of all nations if you just stay. You know, you can only make disciples if you go. You know, when Jesus says about making disciples by going, he's not just talking about going to non-Christians. You know, he's talking about going to Christians as well, because both non-Christian and Christians need to be discipled, right? We go to people from those who know Christ and those people who don't know Christ. You know, we go to people for those who believe in the gospel and those who don't. Second, baptizing. We make disciples by baptizing. Now, notice here, when Jesus says about baptizing, he says that we are to make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, here, Jesus is not saying what the pastor should say during baptism service. You know, if you ever attend a baptism service on Sunday, which you should, after the person makes a public confession that they are a sinner and that they recognize Jesus as God, the pastor says this: so-and-so, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then afterwards, the pastor dunks the person and brings them back. But here, Jesus is not saying what the pastor should say during baptism service, right? Jesus is telling us what Christian baptism is. Dr. George Murray, president of Columbia International University, he says this: baptism is an open public identification with the true and triune God of the person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sorry, baptism is an open public identification with the triune God of the Bible. It is identifying that there is only one God who's ever and only existed in three person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when we go out and make disciples, we call to people to openly identify themselves with the one true God. So we make disciples by going, we make disciples by baptizing, and thirdly, we make disciples by teaching. Now notice here, if you look at this passage here, it says, notice he doesn't say teach whatever you want or teach good advice, but he says teach them to observe everything I have commanded. In other words, Jesus is saying that we make disciples by teaching them this word. And notice this here, it's all of God's word, right? And but notice here too, he also says not just teaching them God's word, but he also says teach them to obey God's word, to observe God's word. You know, it is opening up the scriptures, walking them through, and teaching them how to follow it. You know, another way to teach them how to follow it is by modeling out. You know, just showing them what it's like to obey Christ. That's why Paul says, you know, imitate me. You know, say, you know, this is what it's like to follow Jesus Christ. And so one of the ways we teach others is by teaching them God's word, but also showing them what it's like to follow Jesus. What it's like to follow Jesus when we're dealing with a difficult boss or facing a financial crisis or we're dealing with difficult situations. We show them. Now, I know this doesn't mean we have to be perfect or anything like that, but you know, one of the ways we disciple is by teaching them and showing them what it means to follow Christ. So this is the Great Commission. We make disciples of all nations, and we do it by going, baptizing, and teaching. Now, it seems pretty clear and pretty straightforward. You know, for some of you, this is probably a really good reminder, you know, and you're probably really excited about it. And there are some of you, you know, you probably have been faithful about making disciples, investing in other people, but you're probably struggling. You know, you have been discipling, you've been faithfully investing in other people, but you're just tired. You know, you face a lot of discouragements, you're not seeing any results, and you're probably thinking of throwing in the towel. You know, you want to quit, but you can't quit because you feel no one else is going to do it. And there's some of you here, you probably don't have the time for it because you're too busy. You have a career, right, and you have so much things to juggle that you don't have time to make disciples. And there are probably some of you here who probably feel very inadequate. You know, you feel you're not ready for it. You feel you don't have the adequate training. You feel you don't have enough Bible knowledge. You feel you haven't attended enough classes or seminars. And perhaps there are some of you here who probably, you know, if you're honest with yourself, you probably just don't care. You know, if you're honest with yourself, it's something that you don't get jazzed about. You know, it's something that you'd rather do something else rather than just going and make disciples. And there's some of you here, maybe you're afraid. You're afraid of people. You're afraid how a person's going to respond to you, how they're going to think of you, what questions they'll ask. Or perhaps you're afraid to fail, you know, that you're afraid to say the wrong thing or lead the other person on the wrong path. Or perhaps you're afraid to get hurt. You know, you're afraid that you might get betrayed. And because you're afraid to get hurt, you feel like you don't want that. So you decide to protect yourselves and by keeping a safe distance from people, both physically and emotionally. You know, wherever you're at, I think it's important for us to be honest with ourselves and to God and to admit to him how you feel. You know, in our small groups, which is what's going to happen afterwards, like, I want to encourage you guys, in your small groups, spend time praying together. You know, spend time just confessing together and to God in the ways that you struggled of obeying the Great Commission. You know, as you guys spend time together praying, you know, pray also that God will give you a boldness. You know, God will change your heart, you know, and have a burden for his mission. But secondly, you know, wherever you're at, you know, I think it's important for us to remind it that this huge task that Jesus gives us is covered with his great promise. And we see it in verse 18 and at the end of verse 20. You know, the way I look at this Great Commission passage, 18 and 20, at the picture of a sandwich, like 19 and beginning of verse 20 is like the meat. And then verse 18 and the end of verse 20 is like the bun, right? And so in other words, think of this like, You know, we do the meaty work, and God covers us with his promise. So picture of a sandwich. All right, so we see this in these verses. We declare that Jesus declared his great promise, okay? And that is the second way, the great promise. Now, let's first look at verse 18. And here it says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Now look with me in verse 19 here. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Now you know in the English language that whenever you see the word therefore, it is always referring back to what it just said before. So when Jesus says therefore, he was referring back to what he's just said. So what he's just said, verse 18, is "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus is saying here that he is in charge. In other words, he is saying, he tells everyone what to do. And that's what I want to focus on. He is in charge. You know, what right does Jesus have to make this such a huge claim about himself? Well, he has every right, because that's who he is. You know, he is Jesus. He is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He is Lord. And not only because of who he is, but because of what he has done. You know, he left heaven, he left the sinless world, he came down to our sinful world, lived a perfect life, and even though he was tempted in every way, yet he did not sin. And then he went to the cross, died on the cross for our sins, buried, and resurrected for our salvation on the third day. And because of his victory over sin, he has become full authority. So what does this mean? It means that he is Lord. He is master. He is king. You know, when I was living up in the NorCal area, I went to a Chinese church. And so I went to that Chinese church pretty much all my life. And one of the things I was used to saying when I see a pastor, an elder, I would say, "Oh, hi, Pastor so-and-so. Hi, Elder so-and-so." Because in a Chinese culture, it's considered respectful to say their title. If you say their name, I guess they wouldn't say disrespectful, but they would say they prefer to be called Pastor so-and-so, Elder so-and-so. So I was used to saying that. But when I came down and moved down to Torrance and started coming to Lighthouse Community Church, I started calling people Pastor and so. "Oh, hi, Pastor Euphemio. Oh, hi, Pastor Brian. Oh, hi, Pastor David. Hi, Pastor Kim." And then what's really interesting is that people just correct me. And it's like, no, don't call me pastor. You know, don't call me elder. Just call me Kim. Just call me Samuel. Just call me Brian. Just call me David. You know, I'm just a servant. And they always kind of like, they're so humble too. And it's kind of like, "Oh, I'm just a servant. I'm just like you and me, you know. We're all in this together. You know, I'm not better than you." Actually, there's one person who hasn't corrected me yet, and it's Pastor Kim. He hasn't corrected me. And so I intentionally, whenever I see him, I'd say, "Hi, Pastor Kim. Hey, Pastor Kim." And he hasn't corrected me yet. And so I'm waiting for that moment when he corrects me. It's so funny. Okay. But you know, what's really interesting here, when it comes to Jesus, he doesn't sugarcoat his title. You know, he doesn't correct, like, "Oh, don't call me, Lord Jesus. You know, just call me Jesus, you know. I'm just a servant." But he says this, "I am Lord. You know, I have authority in heaven and earth." In fact, he says all authority, right? So we have to understand who we're speaking to, and we have to understand who is speaking to us, right? And so this great commission isn't just from Jesus, but it's from the Lord Jesus, right? And because he is the Lord Jesus, he is our master, we are his servant. And what do servants do? We do what he says, right? He commands us, and we do what he says. Think of it this way. If we don't follow the Great Commission, then we're actually disobeying Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And so another thing I want to mention here, he says this, you know, because he's in charge of the heavens and the earth, you know, he has the ability to set the rules, you know, to make the call. I'll give you an example. It's like when Obama was president, like he's the one who kind of determines how he should run our country. But now we have President Trump. You know, he gets to decide how we should run our country and our health care. And so in the same way, the fact that Jesus is in charge, he's the one who gets to decide how things should be run. You know, for all of us here, this would actually be an encouragement to us. You know, for me personally, this has been encouragement as well. You know, for those of you who don't know me, I grew up going to church, but I had a lot of struggles in my life. One of them is that I grew up with a learning disability. I did not know how to read properly. I did not know how to write properly. And I don't know how to speak properly. And it's still a struggle for me to this day. And so, in school, I've never done drugs. I've never had alcohol. I've never gotten fights. But I had a lot of trouble with schoolwork. You know, I have a hard time just reading. You know, I read 40 and 50 times, and I still couldn't understand what I was reading. You know, my writing was so poor that, you know, the school reported to my parents saying that, you know, your son writes like a first grader. You know, and I was like probably in fifth grade and sixth grade. And so that was really hard. You know, I couldn't get the verbs right. I couldn't get the subjects right. I couldn't get the nouns right. I couldn't even get the tenses right. I didn't know what difference between a past tense and a present tense. And then when it comes to speaking, you know, I would stutter, you know, I would mumble my words. And you know, there were many times I was sent to the speech therapist, you know, just so I could help me articulate my words better. You know, and I was doing very poorly in school, and you know, I wasn't those typical Chinese kid who exceeds academically. You know, and when the school Another thing also, that I was also not doing very well socially. You know, when the school found out I had a learning disability, they put me in a special education room. And when people found out that I was in a special ed class, you know, I was kind of looked down upon. You know, I was considered the not very cool kids, or the dumb kids, you know, the not smart one. So that affected my identity, that affected my self-worth. You know, I grew up very insecure. You know, I felt very alone, I felt very depressed. You know, I felt worthless, I felt like a failure. And honestly, I felt like I had nothing to live for. And this led me to feel angry towards everyone and family, and also I felt angry towards God. You know, I was telling God many times, why did you make me like this? You know, how could you do this? You know, and from that, this led me to seeking pleasures in this world. Sometimes, you know, I would seek food as pleasure. I would seek materialism, sometimes clothes. Sometimes I give into lust and pornography just to make myself feel better. But by the grace of God, someone reached out to me and talked to me about the Christian faith. And then this kind of led to some good friendships. And as time went by, you know, I started slowly asking him some questions about who God is, who is the gospel. And he did his best to answer my question. You know, slowly I started to understand the gospel. And in my senior year in high school is when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And ever since then, my life has never been the same. And all I wanted to do is just serve him. You know, in college, I got involved with a fellowship called AACF, and slowly, you know, I start serving there. You know, I start just setting up chairs and table in my freshman year. And then by my last year, my senior year, I had an opportunity to oversee AACF, you know, also oversee the team. You know, after college, I started helping out with my church. You know, helping out with youth ministry, lead small groups, disciple people, teach Sunday school as best as I could. And at some point, you know, like God prompted me to go to seminary, just wanted to learn and get equipped, you know, with no intention of being a pastor. And afterwards, God has given me the opportunity to serve as a youth pastor after I graduated from seminary. And then several months later, God has given me the opportunity to serve here at Lighthouse. You know, and looking back, and ever since I placed my faith in Jesus, and ever since I, you know, started serving, you know, I've had honor and privilege of seeing people come to faith, you know, mature in their walk. And it wasn't a whole lot. You know, it wasn't like hundreds of people came to faith because of me, right? But, you know, a few people, you know, came to faith, right? And honestly, there are people still walking with the Lord to this day. And definitely, I don't boast about it. It's definitely God's grace, you know, God's work. Now, why am I sharing my story with all of you? You know, and what does this have to do with Jesus' authority in heaven and earth? Well, if you want, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. It says this, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing things that are, so that no human beings might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, who has been authority in heaven and earth, you know, he is the one who is in charge. You know, and he gets to decide how things should be run. You know, he makes the rules. And also that he's the one who decides how the Great Commission is going to be fulfilled. And the way he does it is using weak people. People who are nothing, people who are broken, people who are very ordinary. You know, people like you and me to do his work. You know, when Jesus picked the disciples, he didn't choose the powerful or the elite, but he uses regular people like you and me to do his work. And if you look at the book of Acts, they became world changers. And why is that? It's because Jesus is in charge. You know, he gets to decide how the Great Commission is fulfilled. You know, how can someone like me, who had a learning disability, and here to share God's word with all of you, how's that possible? It's because God is in charge. He gets to decide how he's going to fulfill the Great Commission. And what does it mean for all of you? Ordinary people, you know, broken, sinful, God can use you. Because you know, that's what he does. That's how he's going to fulfill the Great Commission. Lastly, because he's in charge, we can trust that one day this Great Commission will be fulfilled. You know, this Great Commission will succeed. You know, my professor once says, for those who are in Christ, we cannot lose. You know, even though we feel like losers, we know our Christ is victorious, and he will finish his work. You know, it doesn't mean we don't do anything. You know, it doesn't mean just sit around and loiter. You know, because if you remember, when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and then verse 19, he says, go and make disciples. We still go out and make disciples. And as we go and do it, knowing that Christ reigns and he will complete the Great Commission. After Jesus gives the Great Commission, he then ends with another promise. And it's at the end of verse 20. Jesus says, surely he will be with us to the very end. This huge task will be challenging. It will be hard. You know, you may see some results, and you may not. In fact, you may not see any results in your lifetime, right? You can pour and invest in someone, but you never see them grow. You know, Jesus never promised that things are going to go well. Jesus never promised that things will be easy. But one of the things that Jesus does promise to us as we go and make disciples is that he will be with us, and that he will be with us to the very end. Because that's who he is, because, you know, we worship a God who's not distant from us, but we worship a God who comes towards us. You know, he's the God of Emmanuel, and he will be with us the very end. Some practical applications here. In terms of just, you know, learning about making disciples, stuff like that, here's some practical applications for us. The first one is this. It's just to be in God's word. You know, Pastor Mia will talk more about this during our next gathering about resolve to love God's word. You know, one of the ways we can make disciples, when we can start making disciples, is by just start by being his word, you know. And as you study his word, you can equip yourself to help others know his word. Second one is attend the Discipleship Equip Seminar that's happening this Saturday. I didn't think that was funny, but but for those of you who want to be equipped, you know, if you're interested, want to help make disciples, it's this coming Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the church sanctuary. You'll learn what is disciple and what is discipleship and how to see change and things like that. It's there. The third one is consider being a part of a ministry at Lighthouse. Okay, so in our church, we are blessed to have a lot of ministries, so there's lots of opportunities to serve. But one of the greatest challenges for our church is having the sufficient workers. You know, it may seem like everything is covered, you know, but the reality is there's a lot of needs, and we need workers, we need small group leaders, we need servants. So I want to encourage you to check out some of the ministries here. You know, I know children's ministry is always looking for you know, Sunday school teachers, you know, to teach the little ones, right? You know, I know youth ministries, college ministries, they're looking for small group leaders and servants, right? Teachers too. And I'm pretty sure Praxis does too, and as well as 242, and as well as other places too. You know, there's a lot of need, and so don't assume that everything's all taken care of, right? People, this church needs workers. And so consider joining a ministry here. Another path application is to be intentional on being mission wherever you're at. You know, find opportunities to engage in spiritual conversation, whether it's at home or whether it's at work. You know, one practical way is actually simply sharing with people what you've been learning from church. Let me explain. You know, for those of you who are working, I guarantee one of the things that typically happens on a Monday morning is that people ask you how your weekend was, right? And when they do, it's a great opportunity to share with them what you've learned on Sunday or from Praxis or from 242. And as you're sharing with them, you're in some sense discipling them of what you've learned, right? And hopefully they'll ask you questions. Hopefully, you know, this, you know, it'll spark to some more further discipleship relationship. But last thing, one thing you can do is just to be in prayer. You know, as mentioned earlier, you know, in your small groups, you know, I want to encourage you guys to spend some time praying together and just really confess the ways you struggle, even just repent in the ways that you kind of just didn't want to follow the Great Commission. And also, just spend time praying for one another that God would help us and all of us to take bold steps to be on mission. I'll close with this. You know, I mentioned earlier how we have goals and plans and how we have things to accomplish, you know, and how sometimes we get caught up with ourselves. Well, as I mentioned earlier, my hope is that you will resolve to make disciples. And it's this idea of just making an impact and making a difference in people's lives, not only just here on this earth, but for all eternity. And as you go in confidence, knowing that Christ reigns and will be with us to the very end. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great commission. God, this is a huge task. This isn't a task that we have to do, but we get to do. Thank you, you choose ordinary, broken, sinful people like us to do your work. God, we confess that we struggle with this, even to this day. So, God, we ask for your help. God, we ask you forgive us in the ways that we think more about ourselves and less about your glory and less about other people. Father, turn our hearts from ourselves and turn our hearts back to you. Father, as we take steps, let us be reminded of your great promise that you are in charge and you are with us to the end. God, we pray in 2018 that you help us move towards disciple making. And God, we look forward to the day when you will finish your work and that you will one day make all things right and that you will complete your great commission. God, until then, help us continue to walk in obedience and take steps of faith so that lives will be impacted and that you will be glorified. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.